Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Not great. In fact, I'm a little ticked off.
Why is that, Jeremy?
A&M don't want to play baseball today. Supposed to be away. It's supposed to be remote. It's supposed to be out of here at 5. Got a little TV game. They don't want to play.
Soft.
Fighting Texas Aggies. More like the sitting Texas Aggies.
Soft Texas Aggies.
Soft. But it is, you're on the home of the Texas Aggies.
I know, I got to be careful what I say. Yeah. Upper management might get mad. Brian, you parked crooked again.
Uh-oh. I did not.
You did.
Parking
maybe.
Please, Brian.
I'm not affecting
you. Parked like a
because...
slash. You're in the lane, you're in the lines.
I'm in the lane and like I have slash. I guess it's a storage thing on the one side, so I knew I could play with that. I didn't have to be perfectly straight.
So you admit it.
He knew he could play with that, Jeremy.
He admits that he parked
crooked.
Didn't
have to be perfectly straight.
Is it affecting anybody? Am I in the lines?
I think it affects a lot of people.
Well, you, because of your, I guess.
I had to see that nonsense.
Yeah, you're, what was
that
it?
Debacle.
Obsessive compulsive, a little OCD.
That poor parking. He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brian behind the glass. Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You know what else is poor? Poor?
The Astros offense. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. You finished my sentence for me. That's how you know
we're
got
we're
a good
at.
Partnership. Yep. Good chemistry in our relationship. Yep. You can finish the sentences. You knew where my mind was going.
It's like an old married couple.
It kind of is. Really is. That's why we need a marriage counselor from time to time. Yeah. But when I watch this team, Blakers, and we'll dissect it, 713-780-ESPN. You're always welcome in here, Hive. Second most interactive show in Houston sports radio. Who's keeping count? 713-780-3776. This team feels very mediocre. They feel mid. Like, yeah, they beat San Diego 2 of 3, but you drop 2 of 3 against one of the worst teams in baseball. Milwaukee's fine, but you don't really show any life outside of that sixth inning offensively. Yeah, you're without your best player. The pitching's been good. The offense has been bad. Joe Espada, well, we'll come to our mean. We'll find our mean. Water finds its mean. We're about to explode offensively. This team feels mediocre to me.
I don't think you're wrong. I have a different vibe this year, and you and I have talked about this previously, but watching this team this year as opposed to years past, where I felt like, oh, you know what? They can get down early, but they're going to be fine, and they're going to have plenty of opportunities to score runs, and they'll capitalize. I said it got a little better for a while, but I also think as much as you used to give me a hard time about, you know, how losses hit me or, you know, and how I reacted to losses – this year, it's just totally different. Like, you're right. All across the board, it's like, I feel like this team really doesn't have a chance to win if they get down in a game. This team's offense just really doesn't seem like it's ever going to break out the way they keep saying eventually they're going to break out. And this team, when it loses, and I think the whole city reacts differently than they would have in years past. Where in years past, they lose a series against a team they should beat. Yeah, but they'll be fine. This year, it's like on every game that they don't do anything Astros-like over the last 8-9 years, people are like, yep, they suck. Yep, they're done. I saw it all over Twitter. Yep, I kept telling you, they're not even going to be anywhere near what they were in the past. But when they win, hey, they're right there. They got it. They're coming on, mm-hmm. And they're close to first place. I don't have those vibes this year.
Yeah, I feel like it's the ebbs and flows of a baseball season. Like, part of me is like, hey, this is ebbs and flows. Hey, you know, the Astros are only 3 games back in the division. Only 2 games back in the wild card. This is a far cry from where they were last year when they were 12-24, right? Like, it's a far cry. And, like, I get that the offense is struggling. I get that Yordan's on the IO with an inflamed hand, and people are mad at me for calling him an enigma for some weird reason.
I saw that. Guy called you stupid.
Yeah, yeah. He was getting on to me for not having any journalistic integrity, which I'm not a journalist. Yeah. And then he made fun of me. And then he called me an idiot. Called me stupid. How do you question my journalistic integrity and then call me stupid? Where is your integrity? Huh?
Yeah. I mean, he got a little saucy, that guy.
Was that like wrong of me, though, to say that Yordan's an enigma?
I think all you did was defend what you tweeted, which is your right to tweet and your right to defend it. And I just thought that he kind of went too far.
Like, I believe everything I said was factual there. Because all I did was list his injuries, and then I said Yordan's an enigma. Enigma, dictionary, Oxford. A person or thing that is mysterious, puzzling, or difficult to understand. Wouldn't you call the list of injuries he's had mysterious, puzzling, or difficult to understand?
Without question.
Yeah, everything I said was factual there, and people were blasting me.
Now, do you think
Holly got on to me? Holly, you know, she ratioed me. No, I think it was a different Holly. Oh. I know it was a different Holly.
Oh, the Astros Holly?
Yeah.
Do you think that the guy that was making all these name-calling tweets, do you think that he looked up what Enigma was?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. I don't think they knew what Enigma was.
That's exactly
because
what
everything
I mean.
I said was 100% accurate. And they hear, I mean, I get it. Like, fans don't want to hear, they don't want to hear bad things about their favorite player. They don't want to hear bad things about their heroes. I totally get it. And look, both things can be true, though. Like, I love Yordan. I love that Yordan turned the game upside down. I love that Yordan's been one of the best offensive players in Houston Astro history and has been clutch in all these moments. But both things are true. Like, Yordan is an Astro hero. Yordan Alvarez also is an enigma with the injuries that he's had. And all these injuries that he's had are always on the road, too, by the way. If y'all notice that?
Yeah, I just...
Have you noticed all of them are on the road?
A lot of them are. Well, didn't we talk about,
I think,
like,
all of them?
It seems like there's a lot of times where there's cities he just doesn't want to go to. I think Tampa's one of them.
Chicago's one of them.
Yeah.
Did you know, in fact,
that was the one where he used Crane's plane just to play in the game and then fly back that night.
Yeah, he didn't want to stay in Chicago.
Yeah.
He doesn't like, maybe he's scared of Capone or something. I don't know. He doesn't like the mean streets of Chicago. Maybe he doesn't like the hotel they stay in there. But, you know, he landed on the 10-day IL, which, I mean, I'm okay with putting players on the IL. I would err on the side of putting them on the IL. But you know where the Astros go? Like, they come home for a little bit, but you know where they go next week? Texas, which, whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you know the second leg of that road trip? Tampa Bay. He doesn't like Chicago. He doesn't like Tampa Bay.
He does not like Tampa.
Doesn't like Chicago. Doesn't like Tampa Bay. Doesn't like going. He thinks that the Saint Pete is on the wrong side of the bay. But I got sidetracked there. But this team just feels mid.
You know, another way that I can say that I agree with you is he's on the 10-day IL. In years past, I'd say they're fine. They got plenty of offense. They got guys in the middle of the lineup that are going to hit, and they're going to pick him up with the power numbers. And you got Bregman, and you got Tucker, and you got these guys in the middle of the lineup that everybody knows can do it. This year, I'm like, I mean, not that he was ripping the cover off it anyway, but I'm like, man, for 10 games or 10 days and however many games, I'm deeply concerned about any chance of having any kind of power numbers.
Yeah. And, like, that's the struggle of their offense is, like, the guys that they expected to have power numbers haven't been powerful.
That's right.
They haven't, like, not even power. They haven't been good. Yordan Alvarez has been atrocious. Christian Walker's been atrocious. Yiner Diaz has been atrocious. And they've shown lives. Like, I think Yiner's been coming along better. Christian Walker had that, like, last week he was pretty good. Hasn't really hit much this week. Yordan hasn't hit at all.
Brady snapped out of it. He started slow.
Yeah, and he, like, even whenever he's slumping, like, he'll get on base, you know, because he walks a lot.
Altuve's struggling.
Yeah. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Jose.
Happy birthday to the GOAT.
They call him Hosey.
They call him Hosey. Yep. Yeah, I like that name. I like Hosey. Hosey's good. My grandpa's name's Jose. I call him Chema, though. I don't call him Hosey. But it feels mid. Feels like a mid team. Some of the other things that I felt after yesterday's game, I wasn't very encouraged by Ronel Blanco's start yesterday early, but he finished strong, so I tip my cap to that. Like, he could have very easily went the other way. He could have that very easily could have been a 5-6 run given up performance by Ronel Blanco. So I actually tip my cap. Like, he kept the Astros in the game. He finished strong. Like, he didn't give up a hit for the final 4 innings or whatever it was. I started off very sour on him, and in fact, I keep notes as the game is going on. I put in my notes, and I feel foolish doing this, Ronel Blanco may not be a big league starter. I did that after he got shelled in that inning. The way he finished, I retract that statement.
It was crazy that they said he'd never given up more than 7 hits in an appearance, and he was up to 7 with a couple innings to pitch, and he pitched the rest of the way without giving up another hit.
Yeah.
And I went, look, I just think the one thing that I kept thinking as I was watching the game is, he's given up a lot of dingers this year. It seems like he gets touched up by one bad pitch that gets him one long ball that really kind of kicks him, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, he had that trouble. I mean, not to the volume that he's had it this year, but he had a little bit of that trouble last year, and even that year before whenever he was working out of the bullpen. Like, he is prone to the long ball at times. Like, he'll leave that changeup up, and he'll get hit a long way. But he finished strong, so I can't be too mad at Ronel Blanco, even though he didn't start good. The game, to me, was lost in the 6th inning. They had the bases loaded, one out. Yep. And I really feel bad for Zach DiCenzo. They never showed a replay of the check swing. It was a pitch in the dirt, first pitch of the at-bat. DiCenzo tries to check. They appeal down to first base, bring him up. They never saw a replay on it, so I can't really comment one way or the other. But it sucks that that at-bat started with a questionable strike one.
But he also caught one later in the at-bat where it...
borderline.
Yeah, where it looked like he actually did go, and they said he didn't.
Yep.
But that was just a... right from the minute that pitcher came in, I was like, boy, I don't think that Zach's going to be on this, because he's got a fastball, and he looks like he's got a sweeper that's going to give him a problem. And he was chasing everything that was sweeping off the outside corner.
Yeah, not a great game. Not a great game. I feel like with Yordan gone, too, like, we might see a lot of these games while Yordan's away.
I totally agree.
Two-run games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just, you know, like I said, in years past, with Yordan out, no problem. This year, the minute that they said they were putting him on the aisle, I'm like, oh, man, now where are they going to find power from? Because at least there were signs that he and even Yiner, but he, for the most part, was starting to snap out of it a little bit more, you know, getting balls out of the park, or it was in Kansas City, hit the home run in the double. And you looked at it and you go, okay, well, we know enough that this is a guy that does it year in, year out, that I'm not too concerned, but it is kind of getting a little later than I thought before he snapped out of it. Now he's shown signs. Now he's out for 10 games, and I'm going, well, Paredes isn't going to give you power. I'm not expecting Walker to give you power. Altuve's not giving you any power. You know, Yiner's struggling, but he's starting to show you a little. The only guy I could say is Yiner, I'm hoping for more power. Cam Smith, maybe. But DiCenzo got, what, one home run? I don't know where the power's coming from.
Yeah, it's been a lifeless offense so far. Espada said they're going to explode. We'll see I almost called it an Espada. We'll see if Espada is right. Exploding Espadas. Be nice. Astros right now, 3 games back. I mentioned that earlier. 2 games of the wild card. If you had to make the call right now on May 6th, does this team make the playoffs?
I still feel like they will. I just feel like, especially after last year, I just feel like whether it's the wild card or the division, they're just going to find a way to get in. And I got to believe that Christian Walker is going to snap out of it. And I really believe that Yordan is. I don't know if Yiner is, but I expect him to. And so I still believe that this offense will find its groove to some degree. And whether that's the wild card or it's the division, I do think that they're going to get in.
Mariners claim Leodis Terreras off of waivers. I just noticed. It just popped up on my timeline. Brian, do the Astros make the playoffs? Brian's always pessimistic about the Astros. He's always optimistic about the Texans. He's a realist about the Rockets.
My lean would be no. Okay, so I think the pitching's good enough, but I don't see the big improvement for the offense.
I'm going to go they're still going to make the playoffs.
Is that like last year where it's
I see like 87, 88 wins. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the offense can't be this bad all year. It can't be.
I wouldn't think so. And like I said, earlier in the year, I was wondering about Paredes, and he snapped out of it. I believe, you know, and everyone around the league, every time we see a game, it's a national game, and people are talking, or we hear Blummer and Todd talking about guys they've talked to. Everybody says that Christian Walker, he's a hell of a hitter. Just wait till he snaps out of it. This is going to be great. I hope so.
He is a notorious slow starter.
Okay. So was Alex Bregman.
And not this year.
I know. He's killing it.
Alex Bregman started off pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, so far, so much for my comparison of Paredes and Bregman.
Yeah. Bregman's winning that race right now. 713-780-ESPN. Are the Astros a playoff team? 713-780-3776. What should we call Yordan? If we can't call him an enigma, what should we call him? People are weighing in on that. So if you want to, you know, we'll go with the flow. If you want to chime in on that as well, 713-780-3776. Thoughts on last night's game as well. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man. Joel Bryan's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility. Comes with a lot of cost, too. We know that. Ownwell is here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but save you some money in the process. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and because I love you, members of the Hive, I do not want it to be you. So head to ownwell.com. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. What are you waiting for? You're not doing anything else anyways. You sign up in less than 3 minutes, and their experts will be fighting for you. Cutting-edge technology, and they're going to start saving you money with no upfront cost. You heard that right. You pay nothing at sign-up. You only pay, in fact, if you save. So where is the risk here? What are you waiting for? 3 minutes of your time. If they save you money, that's the only time that you're paying. You're paying in no other situation. Ownwell handles it all from start to finish, and they deliver top results. Put that savings back in your pocket. Ownwell levels the playing field, eliminates the concern of paying too much on property tax. Like, even if they don't save you money, at least you have the concern that you didn't miss out, right? It eliminates the opportunity cost. 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction, with the average customer saving over $1,100. Now, the deadline to protest is rapidly approaching, May 15th, so do not run out of time. Save money on those property taxes at Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today at ownwell.com, O-W-N-W-E-L-L.com, ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texter says that the Astros need rice strips to explode. I like the play on the sponsor. That would help. Yordan equals Mr. Softy. Not my words. Mr. Softy sounds worse than Enigma, though, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree with that, yeah.
Like, how insulting Enigma on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most insulting, how insulting is Enigma? In a lot of ways, it's a compliment.
But I think because people don't know what it really means, the word just has a way of people thinking it's a really bad thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a bad thing, Enigma?
It just means you're confused by it, right?
Yeah, like Sting was an enigma.
But I think if you didn't look up the definition and you just said or called someone that on the street, you don't think that they would find it offensive?
No. They'd be like, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, most of them would say, like, what are you calling me? I mean, I guess it kind of could be an insult, but I wouldn't take it that poorly.
People are mad that I call them an enigma. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how insulting is enigma, you think? Enigma.
4.
Four? Yeah. You're at a 4?
Yeah. All right. I would say, yeah, probably a 3.
Okay, that's where I'm at. Like, yeah. 3, 3, 4. How about Mr. Softy?
That's a 9.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
That's an 8 or 9. That's an upper echelon insult.
Unless you get called the B word, Mr. Softy's pretty close.
Austin says, just say Yordan is paradoxical next time. See, I don't know what paradoxical means.
I do not either.
Let's figure it out here on the fly. Do a little Webster's. Seemingly absurd or self-contradictory. I don't know if that's accurate. I don't feel like Yordan's paradoxical.
I don't think he's contradictory of himself.
Yeah, I don't think he's absurd.
No, but I would say that that's more insulting than enigma.
I think he's
paradoxical.
I think he's more. He's like he's a mystery.
That's what enigma is.
Yeah, I think he's. I mean, the simpler form of enigma is he's a mystery.
It is
with history.
That's a synonym.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's got some great history here, but he's a mystery because we go through this seemingly every year, at least once or twice.
Yeah, I don't know what I did wrong. Not too early to trade. What could we get for him?
Who's trading him, especially with a great contract like that?
Texture, 10-game winning streak coming. We will be fine. I hope so. I hope that they start exploding. Texture, need more production from outfield and second base, but how do they get it? More on that later. Who's the first most interactive radio talk show? Paul Gallant.
Self-proclaimed.
The Paul Gallant experience is the number one
trying
most
to do
interactive
film study, like you're Jeremy Branham.
No,
trying to make everybody think that you know ball.
Look how interactive that is. And Joe, no. Joe's so offended that he said he's trying to be Jeremy Branham. That's what insults me. It wasn't Paul calling me a posturer. I can live with that. It was Joe saying no when he got compared to Branham. He got comped to Branham. No, anything but that. That's what bothered me about that clip.
I give credit to Paul. He's got a ton of confidence, and he self-proclaimed that, and it stuck.
Paul, not Paul. Joe's going to Chicago. He's going to the Barrett Sports Media Convention. So we'll see if he has any cool, innovative ideas to put onto the show whenever he comes back. We actually have to interview him on Friday too.
Wait, that's obligated?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have to, like, he's going to come on the air Friday. He'll be like, hey, this is what I'm learning, guys, and this is what I'm going to have to tell you guys to implement on the show. So that's
put
awesome. I love when people tell me what to do.
Yeah, and get exciting guests and get the break on time. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, which
thanks for the innovation.
We do get exciting guests, but not many of them. And
breaks on time.
Breaking on time is a lost art.
I would say we don't. But by comparison to the other shows, we're actually fine.
Time is relative.
That's true. Time is a flat circle, as we learned on True Detective.
You said we're down our best player. Is Jordan still our best player? I mean, he's your best offensive player, without a doubt. Hunter Brown might be your best player, but Jordan's your best offensive player.
Yeah, I don't. I find that hard to argue. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, whether you think he's the best in the league or not. His ability to hit for average and hit for power consistently, and he's done it over several years now. And whether you have, you look at Altuve or anybody else on this roster, no one's close, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's your best offensive player. Alex Branham to Astros Twitter, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. People don't like the truth. That is true. You talk bad about their best player, they don't like it, even if it's not bad. A texter said that we can call Jordan the big IC unit. Get it? ICU?
Yeah.
IC
yeah,
unit. Yeah. How insulting is that? That's pretty insulting. Like 7 or 8 there?
Yes, yeah, definitely more Jordan insults than Enigma.
I'll go 7.5.
Yeah. What are the – we're not going to read Jordan insults the entire show. 713-780-ESPN. We're not going to let you talk bad about the big fella. 713-780-ESPN.
Same way we wouldn't do it for Lance.
We're not going to talk bad about Astro play. We're not going to talk bad about postseason heroes. We're not going to talk poorly about some of the best Astros in the history of the franchise. So you're going to send your insults all day, 713-780-3776. We're not going to read all of those insults. Maybe a select few, but not all of them. Eric, if they get to the All-Star break at 500, are they moving Fromber? See, this is a conversation I really don't want to have on May 6th. But if we're forced to entertain the idea, I think trading Fromber is on the table in July.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we had that discussion a little bit yesterday, and it's something that's already crossed my mind that between now and the All-Star break, I think it's real.
Yeah, it depends on where you're at. And like, there's a lot between now and then. So like, it's conversation that's more, let's put a pin in it and talk about it. You mm-hmm. know, June, July, probably more July than June.
Because there's a lot that goes into it, right? It's the one thing of saying, hey, if we know we're not going to pay him and he's going to walk, you want to get something for him. You finally did that with Tucker, which you weren't willing to do previous to that, but also the fact that if you could backfill him with starting pitchers that are capable, you know, depending on how, even I guess it depends somewhat on how he's pitching too, but if McCullers keeps making progress and he's in the mix and you have other, you know, and Eric Geddy comes back with the guys that you already have not named Fromber, you have six, seven guys there.
Yeah, it depends on where you're at. Yeah. Poncho, you weren't on his Astros royalty. Watch your mouth. Yellow carded me. Thanks for reading mine on the air, guys. Don't text us compliments here. We don't need thank yous. And we're not going to read any more Jordan insults. 713-780-ESPN. Maybe it's Jordan's time of the month. Men do get those.
That is more insulting than calling him an enigma.
We're not
sure.
going to read mean things that you're saying to Jordan. 713-780-3776. Jordan is not Lance McCullers, .. yet. Come on, that's mean. We're not meaning mean Jordan things. We wouldn't do that. He's Astros royalty. Turned the game upside down. You're not allowed to say mean things about Astros who turn games upside downs. Thanks for you already said that one. I'm going to the game this Saturday. Should I not be excited? I mean, Lance is pitching. Yeah, you should be excited. Going to a game is fun. Have some cold beers, maybe some dogs. Do the 999 challenge.
Seeing them all jacked up for 3 2/3 innings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said that he's going to be jacked up for his first home game.
Better weather, that's for sure.
Once they mic'd him up yesterday, and did you see that where he said? I think that the guys rehabbing me and those guys strategically wanted me to start on the road. Because of his emotions?
I have actually heard that before.
Huh.
I've heard people do that. Jeff Luhnow used to like to bring up prospects on the road.
Yeah, I understand.
Which is kind of the same premise. I mean, it's obviously different, but it's kind of on the same vein.
I mean, he's been there, done that before, to say that from an emotional support standpoint, instead of getting heckled, getting cheered, and having all that kind of emotional support behind you, and the fact that it would be much warmer.
Yeah, that's the biggest deal to me. But I have heard the general managers actually make that tangible. Rocky, the Astros aren't swarmy. anyone believe me that they suck yet? I don't believe the Astros suck.
I don't think they suck.
And I still think they make a playoff team. They just right now feel like a very mid team. And look, people are saying mean things about Yordan, which we're not going to do that. We're not going to criticize Yordan. This guy says what you won't call Yordan is Cal Ripken. No, I wouldn't qualify Yordan as an Iron Man.
Nope, not even close.
Like if you had, okay, like the guys can be Iron Man, they can be like normal, they can be prone to injury. Where would Yordan be on that scale?
Prone to injury. Yeah, it's no brainer.
Prone to a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
Some of them
are mystery
injuries. Enigmatic injuries. So excited that you do the scorebook as well as the game. That's a nice little old school reference there. Go to the game, bring a scorebook with you. You'll have a lot of fun filling that out throughout the show. All right, 713-780-ESPN or throughout the game. It's Jose Altuve's birthday. Should we have an honest conversation about Jose Altuve? We say we were going to do this yesterday. We're going to do it today. Let's have an honest conversation about where Jose Altuve's at this stage of his life. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP. Listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do you think the steroids caused the injuries in Roydon? Come on, that's a crazy claim. It's a wild accusation. We're not reading that crap on the air. 713-780-3776. Has Yordan ever actually gotten injured? I know he gets hurt a lot, but I don't recall it ever being major. I swear the dude just be taking short vacations during the season. They're always on the road.
Kind of not wrong.
Now, he did have the double knee surgery early in his career. Outside of that, the other injuries have been pretty minor. He's never had another surgery. Even the knee surgery last year that limited him in the playoffs didn't require offseason knee surgery.
Yeah, I mean, look, there might be something to that, but I think it's reversed from wanting to be on the road. I think he likes his family time away from baseball.
Maybe. Yeah.
He's got PTO, he's going to use it.
That's right. He's got PTO. That's why he got a team-friendly deal. He gave you that very team-friendly deal. What was baked in was the PTO. Oh, he got a little Roger Clemens in his deal. We didn't know about it. They didn't make it public because they don't make anything public. But we have found out with our journalistic integrity and reputation that Yordan I can report that Yordan, according to my sources, that Yordan Alvarez has a Roger Clemens clause in his contract that he can abort a multi-city road trip at his choosing. Two or three a year, in fact.
And use Crane's plane.
Yeah.
To get to and from.
And if they're desperate for a home run, they can, one time a year, they can fly them on the team. They can fly them on Crane's plane for a series finale and fly back home that day.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have to stay in the hotel.
It's like a lot of the guys had in their contract that use of the private jet. Like the team's private jet or the owner's private jet. A lot of college coaches get that too. But yeah, Jordan's got that with Crane's plane if he wants to just kind of pick and choose his road trips.
With what he is signed to, the low salary, I would sign off on it at the time of the contract. I'd be okay with it. Yeah, you want to play for $16 million a year and be one of the best offensive players in baseball? That sounds fine to me. Be healthy in the playoffs.
How many series would you be willing to give him off?
Three.
I'll give him off three multi-city road trips.
The whole trip?
All of them, yeah. Okay.
Three multi-city road trips. So that's probably good.
That's a minimum of 18 games. Down.
I'm giving him nine games. That's it. For 9 to 12, maximum.
18 games. Like he's not playing 162 anyways.
Yeah, so that'd be what,
144 games.
146.
Like, sign me up for 140 Yordan games a year.
Does that include injury?
He only gets injured on the road.
But you can give him all those, and then by chance, maybe he exhausts all those and then gets hurt.
Yordan can have 22 PTO days and he can use them every once.
Yeah, it's like our PTO here.
Injury, vacation,
exactly.
Misses the family. I don't care how he uses his 22 PTO days. He gets 22 PTO days. You give me a team-friendly deal, you get 22 PTO games.
He's got to make 140 dates a year.
140 days.
To make this a wrestling thing. How he decides to use the 22 days off is up to him.
That's right.
Yeah, he can take an on and off day if he'd like. That would be not smart, but he's welcome to do whatever he needs to do.
He can do whatever he needs to do.
But then he's got to tough it out after that.
He did in the playoffs.
That's true.
Last year in the playoffs, he had a banged up knee and played through the injury. And he has been healthy in the playoffs. Like a tweeter yesterday responded, he's healthy in the playoffs, don't care. Touche. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Easy to stay healthy for the playoffs in the last two games, though.
Dang, shots fired.
Wow.
A little bit easier.
Man, he hates
the
Astros.
Damn, that was a wrecking ball at high speed.
Brian hates the Astros. I mean, look at the last 4 years. Look at Linda. Look at the last 4 years prior to this year for Yordan. 147 games in 24. 114 games in 23, 135 games in 22, 144 games in 2021. I've uncovered something because I'm a journalist. He has 22 PTO games every year.
But then he's got to tough it out. As long as he's got to tough it out no matter what, unless it's like, you know, he does something significant where he can't play.
It's incentive-based too. So this year is like, it's looking bad. He might lose some of those PTO
games. Oh, he has to accrue them?
We
accrue our PTO per pay period. Maybe he accrues them per home run.
Accrues them per home run. Yeah. Man, what an enigma. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Somebody's called the Yordan the mid-bomber. We're not going to read your Yordan insults the entire show. 713-780-3776. It's Jose Altuve's birthday today, Blankers. Did you buy him something?
No.
Jose Altuve. 35 years old for Jose. Do we want to have an honest conversation about Jose Altuve?
Let's do it.
Look, I'm totally in favor of paying Jose Altuve the money that you gave him. He's making $25 million a year. He's the greatest Astro ever. I said at the time that he is the one old guy that I'm willing to pay, that I'm willing to go, you know, the entire career with because of what he's meant to this organization. So I'm not saying like, oh, look at Jose Altuve. He's making way more money than he deserves. But I do think the days of Jose Altuve being worth $25 million for his present-day play are probably behind us.
I don't think so yet.
Let's define it then. What do you have to be a $25 million a year player? Because we know he's not giving you defense. I mean, they moved him to left field to hide his defense.
Well, it depends on where he plays, right? I think there's a chance that you can move him back.
But they've admitted that he's not a good defensive second baseman. That was the whole rationale for the move to left.
For me, it all comes down to his offense anyway, regardless
right, so
of where he plays defensively. I would say he's got to be like a two.
Let's go OPS. Okay. What does a $25 million a year player OPS look like?
800 plus, right?
I was going to say 790.
Well, okay, 790 is fine. Let's go there. Let's
790
go, let's go
was light. Exactly his OPS last year.
So 790 OPS last year, which last year equated to a 125 OPS plus. I'm glad. Like if he produced
that.
Oh, absolutely. Sign me up for 790 OPS, 125 OPS plus. I would take that all the time. Sorry for doing that. This year, he's gotten off to remember, he had a hot start.
He did.
Remember, he had a hot start. His OPS right now is 681. His OPS plus is 95. League average is 100. That's
95.
Not a $25 million. And look, I'm not saying he's going to stay there. Maybe even like maybe he goes back above 100. Maybe next year he's
even
better. I think
he'll pick it back up.
I don't think I think his days of 790 are done.
Maybe. I just feel like he's a professional hitter. I feel like the way Michael Brantley was, even if he can't play defense, I just feel like he will still hit around 280, 285. And I think that he'll have continue to hit his select bombs. Maybe those will go down. But I feel like he can do that.
You know what his batting average is down to right now,
like
Joel?
360?
Whoa.
No, this season.
260.
259.
259.
Yeah, 259.
That's close.
Which I don't care about batting average.
I'm just saying that was the point brought
we
up.
Don't
like
play
the
stupid prices, right? Rules.
The 95 OPS plus, that's
below
the
average.
But if we want to be like brutal about it, that's what DuBont does.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it is. His like.
I don't believe you.
Maybe not this year, but like on average, when you look at his OPS plus year per year, it's around 95. Like maybe 89, it dips down to. But
what's the difference?
It is a difference.
Quite a bit difference. Dubon's career OPS plus is 86.
Okay, has he had a season at 95?
Probably the year or 2 years ago. Yeah, 97 2 years
ago. Okay, so that's what I'm remembering.
He was 87 last year, 52 this year by Dubon. By the way,
yeah. Not this year.
And look, we're not okay. You're being brutally honest with it. Like, so I'm not going to nitpick it too much. But I'm not saying that they should force Altuve to retirement. I'm not saying trade Altuve. In fact, I started this conversation by Jose Altuve is the one player that I would pay and overpay to be here for the duration of his career. But we're having the honest conversation about who Jose Altuve is at the age of 35. At the age of 35, I don't think he's going to give you $25 million worth of production ever again in his career. He's going to be an overpay for the duration of his career, in my opinion.
See, and I think that the way you look at this, it's one thing when you start looking at the numbers themselves, then you also look at, well, where's the rest of the salaries in this league? $25 million is going to continue to be cheaper and cheaper for a player because salaries are going up. But I do believe that he's still – I don't think he's shown signs of, like, bat speed or slowing down and not catching up to fastballs. Now, he's chasing a lot of bad pitches.
They measure bat speed. Let's look it up.
Okay.
I don't think it's good, if memory serves. Finish your thought, though.
No, so I just think that I you know, Abreu, when we saw him fall off, it looked like it was pretty easy to say it ain't ever coming back. With Altuve, he got off to a hot start, so he was actually hitting the ball well. Now he's fallen into a little bit of a slump, but I believe that he can get back somewhere in at least in the middle of the way he started and where he's at now. I don't feel like he's going to continue to just be where he is.
Well, I hope you're right. The bat speed for Jose Altuve is in the 9th percentile in baseball.
Is that bad?
It's bottom
10%.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I know you're looking at the same thing, Jeremy, but I just pulled up his Baseball Savant page, and the offense is, it might as well be the Arctic. It's so blue. It is blue, blue, blue across the board.
Yes. Now, I agree with you that his, like, contact skill is going to be enough for him to, like, he'll give you some base knocks. Like, mm-hmm. And he'll hit the occasional homer, and he'll hit one to the gap, and he'll lay down a bunt, and he's a ball player where he's not going to fall off the cliff like Jose Abreu. I do agree with that. But the days of Jose Altuve giving you the production of $25 million per year, I believe are long gone. And you threw out the number for the OPS of like up to 790. If he's up to 790 again, I would be over the moon. Like I would take 750 from Jose Altuve. I would take like a 105 OPS plus from Jose Altuve. So now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I guess with, you know, with as hot as Jake was and people are thinking, I just think I'm more ambitious in thinking that Altuve can get there and get close to whereas I think Jake's not going to ever, I mean, this is where you know, Jake's doing this and you're like, yeah, it's just a little hot streak, but it ain't going to last. With Altuve, he's just shown me so much that I believe that he's going to bounce back again. And it is kind of.
But haven't 35-year-olds over the course of baseball history shown you enough to say that they usually don't revert back to who they were in their late 20s?
Yeah, but I don't think he was it late 20s the last time that
I think he was really good last year.
So I think he could get close to what he did last year, except for the home runs. I think the home runs will fall off.
Now, last year, I would take last year's season, 790 OPS. You know his OPS the year prior to that? 915.
Mm.
So he went from 915 in 23. Now, he had some injuries there. Maybe it skewed the numbers. He was 921 the year prior to that. He went 921 in 22, 915 in 23, 790 last year. Currently at 681. He's regressed in each of the last 4 years. And he's 35 years old today.
Yeah.
Today. So, look, I don't need the 900 OPS. Like, I'm realistic with this. You give me a 750 OPS, sign me up.
He'll get there.
Sign me up. You think he's going to get there?
I think he's going to get
How
there.
How strongly do you feel about this?
I'm not betting you, but
it's not that strong.
You where I was going.
Yeah.
Read me again.
But I do believe he's going to get there. I'm not willing to throw in the towel on him having a productive season. Or a couple, I mean, before this contract's up. I really believe that he's going to find it to at least that degree.
I mean, I think I side with you, Joel, that he's going to get back somewhere close to last year. But this is what the regression of a player aging looks like. Like, we could look back in a few years and like, well, that was obviously it. Like, this is what we see from players. And their decline's not always the same. Some guys decline gradually. Some guys fall off a cliff from 1 year to the next, like Jose Abreu. But this sort of decline we saw from 23 to 24 to this season is what a lot of guys look like when they start to fall off.
The brutal honesty of this is that Jose Altuve has done an unbelievable job at already fighting father time.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
The years that he's put together the last five seasons in his 30s is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. How much longer does he win that fight with father time? And the secondary point here is, like, if we eliminate the – and again, like, I'm totally okay with paying Jose Altuve $25 million a year to retire here because he's earned that. Like, he's the one player that I'm willing to pay for the back of the baseball card because he has meant that much to this organization. He is the greatest Houston Astro to have ever lived, and I'm okay paying the greatest Astro to have ever lived well worth their current value for what they did in the past. He's the one player that I'm willing to do that for. But he is also an example of why you don't do it for anybody else.
No, yeah, but I also think that unlike like Miguel Cabrera and Pujols and guys that fell off the planet at the end of their career, I believe he can be better than respectable. I think that he can hold up somewhat of his end of the bargain for the next year or two minimum. That's why I believe that he'll find it to get to close to last year. The following year, we'll see. I just feel like he takes care of his body. He's in the weight room a lot. He's strong. He's quick. I haven't seen like a regression in like his quickness, his speed, things like that, to where I believe that he's going to be okay.
Why would you believe he won't fall off the cliff like Cabrera did? Like Cabrera was still
pretty solid
until about 37.
I think Cabrera fell in love with his knife and fork and spoon. I don't think he was taking care of himself as well as Altuve does.
Pujols didn't really fall off a cliff until about 36.
Yeah, I'm okay.
And then also consider that, like what you said, another year or two.
Mm-hmm.
This is what, year two of a 5-year deal?
Yeah.
So you're looking at next year and two more. Yeah, at 25 mil per year.
That last year of the deal scares me.
Yeah.
Especially again, if he's chasing 3,000.
Here's the other conversation point I want to have about this. If, like, he's currently hitting .680 OPS, you think he can get back to .750. If the truth lies somewhere in the middle, where should he be batting in this order? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Rest in peace.
She said, hello, my name is Bobby Joe.
I stumbled into some old school country artists singing music like in the early days on TikTok. It's the greatest TikTok. And like there was like a young Toby Keith like doing like a little studio concert like in front of like 20 people. Pretty legit. It's pretty cool.
I know Red Solo Cup and a couple of his, not as
good once as I'll ever be. Yeah, right here. This is the Jose Altuve.
I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years on me now.
I can relate to this now more than ever.
But there was a time.
Rockets boy.
Back in my prime. When I could really they're tight.
Great time.
Him and Kelvin Sampson.
That's right. These days coaching.
Yeah, a lot of great Toby series that he's told. I love this song.
He had, listen, when we used to travel to OKC.
I'm as good once as I ever was.
Now I want a cold beer. What were you saying?
No, when we used to travel to OKC, there's nothing to do.
OKC?
It's an awful
My
town.
Wife's from Norman, chill.
No, there is nothing to do in OKC except for wait for the next tornado. It's tornado out.
That's kind of true.
It's true.
I'll give you a chance to take that one back.
No, the tornado that went, they actually, like,
it's
Oklahoma.
Tornado
no, no, no. That
that's
is,
like saying there's nothing to
wrong.
Do here between hurricanes.
No, it's not. It's not.
All right.
Oklahomans literally will watch the news and like play bingo with all the tornado catchphrases or keywords. And there's like, this exists. And the Ogle brothers are like, you know, the big newscasters there. That's on the bingo card. Hook Echo is on the bingo card. Like, my father-in-law would pack up the truck and chase tornadoes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Storm chaser.
This is a legit thing in Oklahoma.
It's the sweet spot for them.
They, and like, they're like, what is it whenever you fall asleep at night, like ADMR or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
ASMR.
People from Oklahoma, ASMRs is like thunderstorms and tornado sirens.
That's when they freak out?
No.
That's what
soothes them. That's what like soothes them.
Oh.
No, you're 100% right on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the only thing there was to do is there was like one semi-mall, and there was a big old Toby Keith's. And I'm like, what's a Toby Keith's? And it was like a big restaurant that also at like 9 p.m. turns into like a dance hall concert, mini concert place where they have live music. I think that went under too.
Really? The my aunt-in-law, my wife's aunt, they live out in the country of Norman. They live about 3 miles from Toby Keith's Ranch.
Okay.
In Norman Moore, Oklahoma.
And how far is Norman from OKC?
About 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not far at all. It's about 30 minutes south of Oklahoma City. I like it out there. It's nice. But yeah, they do like their tornadoes.
No doubt.
They do like their tornadoes. 713-780-ESPN. Texture, we just need playoff Altuve to show up. Look, they got to make the playoffs. They got to make the playoffs for playoff Altuve to show up. But I agree with that sentiment. Texture, Springer, and Altuve both make exactly $25 million a year. Who would y'all rather have? First point here, The George Springer contract has not been team-friendly to Toronto.
Ooh.
That he's been injured. He hasn't lived up to production. Now, he's actually been pretty good this year. Springer this year has an OPS of 927.
Wow.
He's got an OPS plus of 165. So if we're detaching emotion and feelings and we're talking strictly the player, I mean, George Springer's been far better than Jose Altuve has this year.
This year. Like, since Springer left, Altuve's been better than Springer.
100%.
But this year... Yeah, I wasn't aware that he was hitting like that.
He was awful last year. Now, maybe this is just a hot start, but Springer's been better so far.
See me at the end of the year, and let's see where they end up.
Bogaerts, Swanson, Harper, Springer, Arenado all make between 24 and 26. Are those guys significantly better than Altuve?
Bryce Harper is.
Harper's better. Springer, we just defined, is better in 25. Now, I mean, these guys can also be overpaid. Let's consider that. Nolan Arenado's gotten off to a good start and, again, plays a more important defensive position at a very high level.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
And it's hard for me to include shortstops in the conversation because they play shortstop. Like, shortstops are paid differently than left fielders or second baseman.
He was supposed to be the second baseman.
Yeah, but he was paid as a shortstop, as a free agent. Yes. And, like, Dansby Swanson wasn't signed for, like, his silver slugging bat. He was signed because he's a solid bat and because he has a good glove. Like, Jose Altuve is not a premium defender. He probably hasn't been in the last decade. So you can't compare a glove-first guy with a bat-first guy, in my opinion. Texture, if we ask Bagwell what the back of his baseball card says, well, we know what Jose Altuve's back of the baseball
card. You know, the back of his baseball card.
Last I checked, Biggio had better numbers than Altuve. In my eyes, Biggio is the greatest Astro of all time. Like, this is really, to me, isn't the greatest Astro of all time conversation. Like, it's not a conversation or a debate that I really want to have. I also have a championship bias. Like, I've made that very well known. I prioritize championships with a very, very large weight. So, Jose, like, you could compare Biggio, Altuve numbers, and Biggio could have the volume and the counting stats. Jose Altuve brought two World Series titles to the city. Biggio never did that. Me, with a championship bias, will always rank Altuve higher than Biggio. And Biggio is my favorite player of all time.
Can you not pile onto that, though, by saying, too, in terms of clutch moments and clutch situations and playoff moments, Altuve has seemingly almost always stepped up, and Biggio and Bagwell are known as much as Hall of Famers for their lack of production in the playoffs.
100 times yes. 100 times yes. Jose Altuve, second in postseason home runs in the history of
behind
the game.
Behind Manny, right?
Behind Man Ram. Yeah. Look at you with a little knowledge flex. I love it. So that matters to me. Like that is something that I hold near and dear to my heart. Barry Bonds was 35 when he started crushing the baseball. He didn't start crushing the baseball at 38. I never had a 50-plus home run season before that. Let's get Jose some Barry Bonds supplements.
Did he have some help?
Yeah. Was it McAvee or McNevee or what was that guy's name? Or that was the Clemens guy, I think. I think that was the Clemens guy.
Oh, you're talking about Brian McNamee? Yeah,
that was
Clemens.
His trainer.
Who was Bonds' guy that gave him the clear and the cream?
That was the guy that he had.
The guy in Miami.
Yeah, he had his own clinic. I forget his name. There was a Netflix documentary about him.
There was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He got A-Rod his, too.
What's right. he up to these days?
The clear and the
like
cream
Houston?
Guy.
His name was Greg Anderson? Does that sound right?
No,
that's not the guy I'm thinking of.
No, this guy, I want to say he did time, right?
Victor Conte?
That's it.
What's he up to? Does he like Houston? Does he like humidity in 100-degree days?
I mean, if you live in Miami, it's hot enough that you could probably adapt.
Yeah, let's see what he's up to. Let's see if he wants to get his second wind in life, revitalize a young whippersnapper like 35-year-old Jose Altuve.
At least he's not Albert. Hopefully he's not like Albert Pujols.
I mean, if Pujols found something late in his career.
Oh, boy, did he. The Goldilocks balls and then some.
Might have found Victor Conti.
Uh-huh.
Great song, Stopping for Beer, Rest in Peace, Toby. I don't know about y'all, but this powerhouse lineup Dana Brown built is amazing. The amount of runs we score every game, my goodness, it's hard to keep count. Casinos, golf, and tornadoes in Oklahoma, that's it. But what more do you really need? That's a good point.
That is pretty good.
Championships mean everything. Bagwell, best Astro. Altuve, most accomplished. It's morphed into a conversation I didn't really want to have. With Tucker and Bregman start this year, what would it be contributed to them being happy they are out of Houston, or was it the coaching? Look, Tucker was off to a great start last year, too, and then he smashed a baseball off his leg that was called a bruise for 2.5 months. Bregman, I don't know about the Bregman thing. Now, if you want to like say it's hitting coaches and all that stuff, Bregman has traveled his own hitting coaches for like ever. So I don't know where he's going with that.
Yeah, I don't either. And we all know that Alex is extremely obsessed with hitting.
Extremely obsessed.
He just, at all, any kind of off time at all is not off time. He's in the cages somewhere.
Yeah. So here's where Biggio was at his age 35 season. He had an 838 OPS, a 111 OPS plus, which looks like it's going to be far better than Jose Altuve's. I would take Craig Biggio's 35-year-old season immediately, obviously, right? 838 OPS.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy he was that good. Now, that was early 2000s. They had just moved to Enron Field at the time. The balls were flying out of the ballpark.
Yeah, they were.
At that time.
Pitchers did not want a pitcher.
Biggio finished his career pretty good. Like, if you – Biggio's 35-year, he was 838. The next year, 734. Then 763. Then 806. Then 792. Then 727. And then didn't really fall off until his final year at the age of 41 with a 666 OPS.
If 700 is average, that's pretty impressive.
Well, 700 is not average. It changes by the year. Like, but you have to look at OPS plus to look at average because it changes by the year.
Nonetheless, I would expect those numbers to be a lot lower.
Biggio's, like, offensive numbers were also a lot higher than, like, Biggio's second to last year at the age of 40 had an OPS plus at 84. So that's pretty low.
Yeah,
like,
low.
Like, Altuve now is what, at 95? Altuve has a 95 OPS plus and a 681 OPS. Biggio had a 727 OPS in his second to last year and an 84 OPS plus. Like, offensive numbers are way down now.
Yeah. I believe, Jeremy, I believe.
They're way down now.
No, but I believe in Altuve getting them back up.
But you're not willing to bet it.
No.
If he's somewhere between the 681-750 OPS range, where should Jose Altuve be hitting in this lineup? Because I would argue to you that if he's going to be somewhere in that, even if he's on the upside of that range, that he shouldn't be occupying the second spot in the batting order.
See, here's the problem that I have is that this lineup to me right now has got so many question marks in it that I'm not sure that – I don't think he should be 6, 7, 8, 9. I think more so than anything else – I might return him back to the leadoff spot, depending on how Jeremy Pena continues to produce, because maybe Jeremy Pena is more valuable in the two-hole, and maybe he can at least be the leadoff hitter he's been in the past, minus the home runs. But that's where I would say I would still keep him in the lineup.
I'm not taking him out of the lineup.
No, I know, but I'm saying I wouldn't put him like 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I would actually just bat him third. Just
that's
go
fine.
Third. Like, to me, his on-base isn't enough to be in the leadoff spot. His overall hitting isn't enough to be in the two-hole. I think you bat him third. I think that I would be hitting him in the, because of what he's done in the past, because he does have, like, the resume and the reputation. And look, I think he's going to be better than this, too. I would just go ahead and bat him third. And if you get Yordan back, maybe you put Yordan in the four-hole, and he's got a little bit of protection.
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, I believe that he's going to he's going to pick it back up. But I also understand if it's between the leadoff spot and the three hole. I also think that if Paredes continues to hit, that Paredes to me is a guy that may be capable, but his on base percentage and his average is
pretty
probably
good.
Not.
His on base is not bad because he walks a lot.
Yeah, and because he's got a great eye at the plate that I would consider him if you wanted to move Altuve down. But I'm still keeping him in the top five.
Yeah, me too. Third for me. Like, third is the perfect spot, I think. You know what? Jose Altuve won his MVP. You know where he was hitting? Third.
There you go.
Get a little Yordan protection when he's back. It's the best for all parties.
And, you know, no one's as superstitious as baseball players, but we hear about it all the time with Pena. Like, there was, remember how many times and how many years? He really picks it up when he's hitting in this spot. But he hates the fact that he's hitting in that spot. Remember there was the push when he was in the two-hole for a while? And then when they took him back out, then he kind of slumped.
Yeah.
But I don't think Altuve is quite like that. But I just think that no matter where you put him, he's got to be in your top five.
Rocky, Jose just got uprooted from his last position. That can 100% affect your offensive mentality. Maybe he's trying to do too much, too, because the offense is awful and he knows it. Another texture. Until Altuve's production gets to a Jose Abreu level, he's still a solid player, deserves the salary for what he's done for the organization. Again, last time to be clear, I'm not saying that they should trade him, release him, tell him to retire early. We're just having an honest conversation about the level of ball player that Jose Altuve is at the age of 35. And because of what Jose Altuve has done for this organization, in my opinion, the greatest Astro of all time, I am totally okay if they overpay him for the remainder of his career. At the same time, we can have a real grown-up, honest conversation about the level of player that he is in 2025 at the today ripe young age of 35.
I don't know if I like the changing position excuse that the previous texter brought up because he got off to such a great start. Like, if the reason is, well, playing left field, you know, all that comes with it is on his mind, then why did he start so hot for the first, you know, 3 weeks?
Yeah, good point. It's a really good point. And if you're a baseball savant guy, don't look at Jose Altuve's baseball
brutal.
Savant.
It
is bad. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Is Draymond Green right about Dylan Brooks for refusing to shake hands after Game 7? It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from our good friend Doc Linville. He is a game changer. We look for game changers in sports all the time. Well, he's a game changer when it comes to getting your hair back. As a guy, and most guys struggle at some point in their life with some kind of hair loss, I can tell you that it wasn't a conversation that I wanted to have, but that Doc asked me to have in terms of one day we were at an event for ESPN 97.5. He said, hey, when you get a chance, I want to sit down and have a little consultation with you. I just want to run some stuff by you. And I said, okay, look, what do you got? And he started to explain to me the way he can get your hair back. In my case, my hairline, my forehead had become an 8 head. In other people's cases, you lose hair on the top of your head, other spots on the top of your head. The fact is once he and his staff explained to me everything with that consultation, it all started to make sense. This isn't gimmicky. This isn't like the things you see on late night TV, the sprays, the creams, the foams. This is real deal stuff that's going to work because it's your own hair. What I found out in that consultation as well that I didn't know is you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. Therefore, he can take some of that, kind of like re-sodding your lawn, and he can put it where you need it most, thus the Neograft procedure. He can also fertilize your lawn by using PRP treatments for the hair you still have on your head, which makes them stronger, longer, and look more lush and give you more coverage area. The fact is those two procedures work phenomenally well. I've had them both. I have the results to prove it, and I'm here to tell you, you can get them too. Because you're listening to me and you want to at least talk to him, you get the consultation that I had for free. People off the street pay $150, but you're listening to me tell you about it. You're following my lead to go to 975hair.com to sign up for it. You get it for free. Just a Q&A session, them explaining all the different ways that these two procedures can help you, showing you pictures before and after like mine, and letting you make up your mind. Nothing to come out of your pocket, sign on the dotted line for, or pay for in any way, shape, or form to commit to. It's just you and the and Doc staff getting a Q&A session that maybe will change your life for the rest of it, because this hair that you're going to get is going to be there. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They're the best in the business. Go to 975hair.com.
What's your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.